Welcome to The Thoughtful Entrepreneur. If you're committed to growing your business by serving audiences with generosity and real expertise, you're in the right place. This is a daily 15-minute show featuring leaders who believe real impact comes from generosity, not hype. Which means, as a listener, you're going to get the good stuff. In fact, we created podverified.com to give thoughtful leaders like you free tools to show up better on podcast stages like this one. That includes your free PodVerified score, free PodVerified guest training, a free media kit builder, and so much more. It's the first ecosystem of its kind built by podcasters who genuinely want to help guests thrive and grow in podcasting. Visit podverify.com if you'd like to be featured as a future guest. I'm Josh Ellidge. Let's get into it. With us right now is Hannah Bauer. Hannah, you are a keynote speaker. You're an executive coach, and you are the founder and CEO of Heartnomics. You are found on the web at heartnomics.com. Hannah, it's so great to have you.
Oh, thank you for having me, Josh. A true pleasure to be here today.
Yeah. Before we get going talking about the work that you do, I understand that you love to dance. Tell me more.
Oh my goodness. Well, any music, any rhythm, pretty much. If you find the person in the corner, that's probably me. If I'm in the room, I'll be like moving until I get pulled up. I know I love dancing from seeing it, tango to hip hop to, and then of course, Zumba. You got to do Zumba. I mean, I know some people miss the dancing, but my goodness, all the line dances that we get to do in Zumba is super fun. I love doing it with people. So I'm a geek at it. I watch it. I love it. I encourage everybody to do it. It just makes life fun.
Yeah. What have you been doing? So do you go to classes or where do you just go out to the club?
Well, you know, club finds me. No. Yeah. No. Zumba, honestly, we have like five classes a night. And so we do that. And then we also have a lot of get togethers afterwards in restaurants. So basically we take over restaurants and we just start dancing there when they have a live band. So it's something that is absolutely fine.
I firmly believe. So my wife and I go see a lot of live music and we like to see music that we can, you know, that we can dance to and kind of rock to or whatever. And I swear that keeps you young, you know, and there's just, you know, it's like that energy of celebrating with everybody else too. It just makes you feel so good about the world, in my opinion.
Oh, 100%. I mean, it's bachata, merengue, salsa, you know, the line dances are getting very popular nowadays, even to like, you know, modern music. So it gets very intricate. But when you do it together, and again, I'm all about rhythms. So it is beautiful to get in the rhythm, not only with the music, but get in the rhythm with everybody. For me, it was a pure, beautiful picture of leadership. And organizations working together, the rhythm that comes together, the fun that we can have. And really, it makes you feel good. It makes you feel good.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Well, you are highly sought after as a speaker. I mean, you've spoken for some really big organizations. Hannah, tell us about your work and what Heartnomics is.
Well, Heartnomics is transformation through love and excellence. This came rooted back from having to go through, really surviving a terminal diagnosis of heart disease when I was young, being a pioneer in an innovative surgery, and really my lessons that came at a very young age, learning from that what love and excellence were, because I'm really the result of innovation. And then transferring that over later on in life as I was doing my service and becoming a leader, going into really what the doors that service opens, which is working with great people and great leaders, to becoming an entrepreneur and being able to lead a company, educational company, publishing for about 18 years, and I opened the doors to serve some more. And that's what I get to serve leaders and businesses, entrepreneurs, nonprofits. So it's been really a history of service. And that was actually my first aha moment when I came from after that innovative surgery, was that service is leadership. And my goodness, it has proven time and time again, really being true in service opens doors and allows you to meet amazing people and do great things together.
So let's kind of pick that apart a little bit when you say, again, I think we've all heard of like servant leadership. And again, it sounds like a really nice kind of leadership platitude. But what I'd like to do is now kind of maybe put some meat on the bones and talk about what does that look like in our day-to-day roles?
Well, sure thing. So let me tell you, like a lot of my lessons came from the hospital, right? As a kid growing up, and there were a lot of failure points. I was in a very critical condition, and the failure points also not only were they devastating emotionally, but they also were the time to come, reassess, regroup, and let's try again. So that's where I started learning about the processes, the systems, and even the communication that happened from team to team. So when I saw it as a servant leadership, I saw the passion of the professionals at that point, where because there was no cure for what I had, there was no research, and it was uncertain. There was no clear cause of what, how did it happen? So they were really going in blind. As a matter of fact, when they did a 20-year anniversary of my the innovative surgery, my doctor said they were just trying to keep me alive long enough for technology to catch up. And really, that's where it came together. Servant leadership for me, when I saw that, I saw the love, because someone said trying to keep me alive long enough. And the love that sustained was the community, the volunteers, my family, the service people, all the people that came in that really were serving, but also in the technology, in the processes and the systems, was the commitment to excellence, that even in light of failure, they're still being passionate because they were purposeful in what they were doing. Essentially, this surgery and them doing this, me actually living out this example, opened the door at that time on the 20-year anniversary for 3,000 other kids to also be saved later on through the same procedure. So servant leadership is not just doing things for which you
No.
do, but it's the passion, the purpose, the people, the performance that come together that align for us to be able to be not only integrous in service, but be fulfilled in that service.
And I think what a beautiful message for today. I think that there, Hannah, my experience is there have been far too many leaders that I think have maybe presented themselves in a way that seems a little bit just too interested in profits. You know what I mean? You just and I think there have been a lot of bad examples out there. So I think that, you know, our heart-centered leaders, the ones certainly listening to this show, this episode right now, know that, you know, they don't want to be numbered in that, you know, just because they're the CEO, just because they're overseeing a large organization. And again, this is, I'm being unfair because, you know, again, it's, I think it's a few bad apples that might, you know, kind of spoil a reputation, but I think it's a great opportunity for those of us to double down in our values and what that looks like. Why do you think that this is also critical today? And what are some things that someone, a leader who's listening to us right now, could do? Not just say, but do, you know, in the week ahead.
Well, Josh, you're not wrong at all. I mean, honestly, it's not, unfortunately, it's not a few bad apples, but I don't know if you've heard of the Edelman barometer that measures trust, because really what you're talking about is the trust, it's the integrity part, where it says that over 70% of the current people, the team members in organizations, do not trust the organizations that they're in. So we are truly in a trust crisis. We not only in a trust crisis, but you know that does reflect in leadership. I mean, my mentor John Maxwell does say everything rises and falls on leadership. So if we're talking about trust, it very much has to do with the leaders. So can we have an opportunity for growth there as leaders to increase trust? Absolutely. I mean, we is the basic of business. If for people that want to have those thriving businesses, right? I mean, we talk about who do we do business with? People we know, we like, we trust. So if they're not trusting us, they're not buying our services, our goods. But think about it. Who's our first customer? It's our employees, our teammates, our team members. So if they themselves already, this is what the data is showing, and we see that with it shows up in disengagement, it shows up in morale issues, it shows up in people not being loyal to the organizations that they're in, leaving, not being able to keep talent. It's showing up. Showing up in burnout. And with the burnout, a lot of times it's the frustration because, hey, you're telling me one thing and I'm not seeing the thing that you're saying. You're doing is not matching your words. So yes, what can leaders do is be intentional about about building that trust on a daily basis, because it is that trust that we're using, really. That's the number one currency for the leader to be able to navigate change in times of where we don't know what is happening, what's going on. And absolutely, there's a lot of things that are changing really fast. Uncertainty is through the roof in every area of our lives: environment, leadership, economics, just places. We're seeing a lot of different moves, even natural disasters. So things are completely out of our control. So there is a high level of uncertainty. And the only way, the best service right now that our leaders can do is really being intentional about building that trust, which equates to the psychological safety that they bring to their organization so that we can navigate the changes in the uncertainty that is right here, is in the present.
Well, Hannah, share a little bit more about your specific work. Like when you engage with your clients, or you consult as well
Yes.
as speak?
Oh, yeah. Actually, well,
Yeah,
because
tell me
that's
about
my
that work.
experience. I've served as a CEO, I've served as executive director. So I've been on both sides, right? I've been under great leadership. I also had to be that leader, and I've also made a lot of mistakes being that leader. So another one I speak about too is because I left that behind. And I broke the system trying to do a whole lot of things that did not have the culture to support it. So one of the first things I do, I mean, usually people don't come to me, "Oh, hey, we have a culture problem, Hannah." No, they don't come to me like that. It's usually they have people leaving, income dwindling, or even opportunities, even just like, "Oh my goodness, we have this great opportunity and we don't know that we are ready to do it." So how do I help people at that time? Well, we start doing with an audit. We look at the communication systems, right? My background is also as a Broadridge systematic view. So I like to look at things in systems, and I really do encourage the leaders to start looking at what they have as systems, because understanding that one solution is not going to only affect that one part. Every solution is going to impact or bring a problem and effect in other areas. So we can't be so focused on the one solution for one place without also being systematic and looking at what does this mean for the overall experience. So that is something that I do bring to the table, is being able to take a look at the systems, looking at the processes, and looking at the people. Now, as I mentioned, I did do a lot of work and change with processes and system. I'm a black belt in Six Sigma. That's what we do. We get to the root cause analysis. We go to the most minimal data, everything to get to the what the problem, the root cause analysis, the root problem can be. But one thing that as I did that, right, started leading by processes, systems, and even finding like, hey, we're going to prevent every single way that this problem comes, and we had it down, is that I started thinking too linear. Basically, input, output. And I see that mistake continues to be with leaders today, where it's like, if I put this in, I should get this out, put this in, I get this out. Except that we forget that we're working with humans. Humans are very complex. Anytime that you put a human to place, which is what we do, all work is by humans, for humans, and is human-centric, is going to be complex. So that's the other part that I help bring to the companies. And say, how are we taking care of the human? How is this working for the people, the internal customer, the internal alignment, so that we can do external execution with that is not only high performing, but it's also fulfilling in the work that we do.
Well, Hannah, your website is heartnomics.com, and I'm on it right now. And it looks as though you've got some really great resources here. How do you, I guess, for someone that's listening to us and they want more of you,
Yeah.
what would you recommend they dig into?
Well, first is the assessment. I have a free assessment there. It's if you go under resources, you'll see their assessments, and I have one for the individuals and one for organizations. And in there, it really helps you. I use the method BEAT, Core, and Heart. So it will give you your heart score for your alignment. And then as you are looking at what is the next step, it's going to walk you through the BEAT and the core methods. And that's the way that I actually help the organizations when we go in there. BEAT is for believe, engage, act, and transform. And that's an internal alignment, because that's one of the other things. It's not a lack of knowledge many times with leaders, or a lack of like, hey, one more thing to do. We're doing a lot. We know a lot. But is it purposeful? Is it aligning? One of the things that I realized, again, growing up, from going to back to The Cure for my heart, was that they had to create pathways. And in order to create a pathways, what they really had to do with my heart was burn away the extra things. And I find that it takes as much skill, if not more, many times to let go, to burn away those things that are no longer working for you in your organization, or in for you as a leader, so that you can then be purposeful in what you do and be fulfilled in what you do. So that is what an alignment is for. And you'll find those assessments there that will help with the alignment, and using BEAT and CORE to align. For corporations, what I do is they cultivate, optimize, reach, and elevate. And cultivate goes back to like the foundational things. Yes, we may have vision statements, we have mission statements, values, but where are they? Do you know them? I've served thousands of leaders, and I can tell you less than 5% probably can tell me by heart what their mission statement is, what their values are. They know they have them. They know there's somewhere in the web, but they're not living by them. And let me tell you, this is the filter. That's why you exist. So we go to cultivate and core, and then we optimize through processes and systems. And then we reach, because we're reaching our internal customer and our external customer. So we go through that process, and then we go to elevate to become not only the thought leader, but also innovation. Because I'm a result of innovation. I'm a big advocate for innovation. And we need not only innovative solutions, but we really need that creativity and innovative environments for the people to be able to flourish and really live up to their fullness of their human potential.
Well, I know, and I actually saw this statistic on your website as well, and I've heard this before, that about 3 out of 5 leaders report feeling some level of burnout. And I would imagine, you know, getting alignment here, discovering our blind spots, probably is going to reduce in just a lot more satisfaction and maybe burnout resistance, and you know, just enjoying that day to day a little bit more. And I'm sure that's your experience.
Oh my goodness, yes. Again, we live in such a fast world, and there's always a lot of information that we're getting of the things that we're not doing, right? Or here's the new solution, or the new hack for this, a new hack for that. We're hacking everything, but every time it requires this learning curve. And I do find very well-intentioned leaders that are amazing, that are even leaving leadership. Like, hey, I'm done with that. I'm going to do my own thing, or redirect, or this is too much. The burnout is there. And that really comes a lot from the lack of confidence too. The lack of confidence in technology. You can have a great strategy for software technologies, but if you don't have the people readiness there for the technology transformations, the digital transformations that you're going to add to, you will definitely burn out your team. That's another statistic, actually. This over, I believe from McKinsey, that over 71% of the digital transformations that happen fail. Not because there's not the apps and the tools and all that, but because there's not the leadership in place to be able to roll it out and execute. And it's because our leaders already, they're burned out. They already tapped out.
Yeah.
So I come even to realize, even with speaking, right? It is a lot easier to prepare for a 1 hour talk than it is for a 3 minute thing. I mean, you can do preparation and you think like, how in the world can that be? Because in 3 minutes, every single little thing counts. You have to be very strategic with every word you do. And we think that sometimes like, oh, we need to add more. No, actually having that less, it's going to cost a lot. So that is one of the things for the leaders. They are ready. We just need to be open and embrace the fact that we can get rid of those things and be more strategic, more specific, more effective, and be able to really be fulfilled. Because if we're not, guess what? Our teams are not either. We can't expect to have a highly engaged organization if we're disengaged. We can't expect for people to come in and be all for the customer service, for the great customer experience, if they're not having a great experience as an employee, if they're not having a great experience as a customer. Again, we cannot give what we don't have. And that is something that the leader is in a very unique position to be able to be the solution for that. And that is where the servanthood comes in. But it does take work. It takes intentionality. It takes the ability to let go, to empower, to trust, to build that trust. And it is something that we can build. And that's what I love to help people with.
Awesome. Your website, heartnomics.com, Hannah Bauer. I also see that you've got an ebook here called Hustle with Heart, but and which we had more time, we could talk all about that. But this looks so cute. 52 mini shifts to impact, to maximize your impact. Of course, you've got some great resources, including those assessments as well. Hannah Bauer, founder and CEO of Hustle with Heart. Thank you so much of Heartnomics. Thank you so much, Hannah, for joining us.
Thank you for having me. A true pleasure.
Thanks for listening to The Thoughtful Entrepreneur. If your goal is to grow your business, increase revenue, and build authority without gimmicks, this show is designed for you. Each episode gives you practical insight from leaders who have turned trust and credibility into real business results. If you value short, thoughtful conversations that respect your time, make sure you're subscribed. We publish daily 15-minute episodes focused on growth that actually compounds. And if you're interested in being a guest or you want to turn podcast appearances into measurable business growth, visit podverified.com. You can start for free with your Pod Verified score, along with free podcast guest training and a free media kit builder. These tools are built to help you get booked on better shows, deliver stronger interviews, and convert audience trust into revenue. No more desperate sales. You truly can enjoy all the business you like by generously sharing your wisdom. Everything we offer is built by podcasters for guests with a focus on trust, organic growth, and long-term business success. Thanks again for spending your time with us. I'll see you next time.